before you, and we thank you for this time that you've given us, Lord, to have this fellowship with one another and to be in your word. You're an awesome God, and we can't wait till the day when we are with you. And I pray tonight, Lord, as we look at the topic, overcoming the world and temptation, that you would speak to us mightily. And as we're taking notes, Lord, that we would fully understand what we are about to be taught. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we ask that your Holy Spirit would be welcome here among us, and that you would teach us the things you'd have us to learn and know. Go before us now, in Jesus' name, amen. So in our lives, we are continually tempted in three main areas. The first, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, 17, John says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. It goes back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for fruit, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. There you have, right there, 1 John chapter 2, all three of them. The fact is, we can have victory over temptation. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You ever hear someone say, man, God is tempting me, or the devil made me do it? Well, I have some news for you. James 1, verse 13, 14 points out, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does God himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. James 4, 7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see, our victory lies in the Lord and his word. Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, he said in Ephesians 6, 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's a losing battle if we try to use our own weapons. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 to 5 tells us that God's word is alive. We have it for a reason. Hebrews 4, 12, you guys have heard me quote this scripture. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why people don't want to read the Bible. The Bible will tell you who you are. The word powerful, translated from the Greek, means energizing. God's word is not only living, it energizes. It brings life. It brings fresh vision. His word is two-edged. It cuts as it goes in, and it cuts when it comes out as it penetrates your heart, your mind, and then brings healing. That's the purpose of God's word. It's to have an effect on you and on your life. You've heard me say this before. God's word will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from God's word. I'm convinced by God, the greatest discipline I, as a pastor, can have is to go through the Bible verse by verse with you, God's people, because only his word can divide the soul and spirit. I can't do that. We can't do that. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17 tells us, All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture, all 66 books written by over 40 authors in a time frame of 1500 years. Genesis to Revelation. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, okay, Rick, wait a minute, hold on. The Bible was written by man. Well, then what did Peter write in 2 Peter 1, verse 20 and 21? Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We need to follow the example our Lord set for us and fight the spiritual battle spiritually. In Matthew chapter 4, the enemy, the devil, he tried tempting Jesus physically, spiritually, and with the things of this world. Each time, for those of you who know the text, Jesus came back with what? God's word. Remember, Satan is a liar. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy me. He doesn't care what it takes to destroy us. But the victory is ours in Jesus Christ. First, we have to resist the devil. Secondly, we have to stand strong in the faith. And third, know you're not the only one going through drama and problems. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. But also remember this. We do have spiritual resources. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. Our armor. Let me give you some key verses. Galatians 5, verse 16 to 18. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I think everybody needs that tattooed on their forehead, so when you look in the mirror, you see it. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. James 1:12, blessed is the man who endures temptation. You know what that word blessed from the original Greek Aramaic New Testament means? Oh, how happy. Oh, how happy is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord promised to those who love him. 1 John 5, verses 1 to 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Let me read that again in case you guys snoozed off on me. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is a victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now the Apostle John made the statement that no one has seen God. And what he's saying is no one has seen God in all of his fullness. No one knew about God's love until God showed it to us on the cross when Christ died. Now God makes it real to us by the Holy Spirit. The idea is when I learn of the Lord and I follow him, I begin to know what God is thinking. I begin to feel God's heart. I feel God's love. I feel God's compassion, not only towards me, but also to you and others. We look at the world, and you know what? The world is starving for love. The world doesn't know what love is. It doesn't know how great and awesome our God is. That's why God wants to be manifested in us. We are to share that love. John wrote in 1 John 4, verse 20 and 21, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. I don't want to add to God's word, but let me say brother and sister in Christ, okay? I mean, that's really heart-searching. You see, God isn't asking us if we feel like loving others. He's not asking us if we would like to. God commands us to. Why? Because he loves us. What good is in me that God would ever really love me? What good? I'm a sinner. Man, the things I think sometimes will go through my heart and my mind. It's like, are you kidding me, God? I hate this sin nature. I want to get out of here. A mark of being dedicated to the Lord is you demonstrate this love in your life and in your service. 1 John 5:1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who's begotten of him. You see, God is life. And the only way to have his life is by being born of him. John said, whoever believes Jesus is the Christ is born of God. It's how you become born again. We know that. In John chapter 1, verses 10 to 12, we read, he was in the world, and the world was made through him. Speaking of Jesus. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. How tragic, how sad. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. That's us. That's us. It's when you place your trust in Christ. You trust who he is as well as what he did and that he died for the sins of the world. The problem with man apart from God is he can only die a judgment death and be eternally separated from God. That's why it's faith in Christ that produces this new birth. Paul said in Romans 1, verse 16, 17, can you all on this line say this? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. When you totally, I'm talking 100% lock, stock, barrel, place your trust in the Lord, you are born again. God becomes your heavenly Father, but there's a catch. If God is your heavenly Father, then you will love him. You will love Jesus, and you will love other believers. What I find so interesting about this is everything in creation, except man, actually obeys the will of God. Do you know that? Man is the only one that's disobedient. It's man who is disobedient to God's will. Man is reluctant and has a grudging obedience. Of course, God doesn't want us to disobey him. But neither does he want us to obey out of fear, because we need something, or because we have to. We show our love to God not by empty words, but by willing works. One of the tests of a maturing love is our attitude towards God's word. Because in it, in God's word, we find God revealing his will for our lives. I can't tell you how many times as a senior pastor I've had brothers or sisters come up and ask me, how do I know God's will? I go, are you reading the word? Well, I was. What do you mean you was? Get in the Word. You need to be in it every day. You get in the Word, you're in it every day, you are going to know God's will. God's going to give you His Word to back up what you're sensing in your spirit you need to do. You see, a man that's not saved considers the Bible a book that is hard to understand and follow, mostly because he doesn't understand its message. Paul confirmed this in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13 and 14. He said, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches." Here it is, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, the man that hasn't been born again, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's why the Bible never did anything for me before I got saved, put me to sleep. On the other hand, a Christian who is not maturing considers what the Bible is teaching to be a burden. I mean, he's like a little child who's learning to obey, but is continually asking, "Do I have to?" Steve Urkel, you remember him? A seasoned Christian who is maturing finds they experience God's perfecting love and they enjoy God's Word. They simply love digging into it and studying it. That's when you find true, genuine joy in your obedience to God. Not only do you have a love that's being perfected, the results are living a happy and peaceful life. Man, you know what people would pay today for peace in their life? You could deal with the things that been handed to us. It's when we disobey God. Every one of us on this line at one time or another disobeys God. We all do. We're all guilty of that. We lose our confidence towards Him. Another thing we bring on ourselves is when we don't confess our sin and claim God's forgiveness. We start pretending in order to cover up our sin. John wrote in 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Not most, not some. We're talking 100%. It's a proven fact. Disobedience will always lead to dishonesty. It always does. Both will turn your heart away from God's Word. You won't pick up that book and read it. Instead of reading the Bible with a heart of joy to learn the Father's will, guess what? You'll end up ignoring it and not reading it at all. You know, let's get real here. Let's get for reals. It has nothing to do with belonging to a church or going through some ritual or ceremony. If you are a believer, you need to be worshiping and studying in a church where you take part in the fellowship and service of that church. I just don't know how clearer it can be than Hebrews 10, verse 23 to 25. I hear people say all the time, "I don't have to go to church." Well, yeah, you don't have to, but we're told to. And I take them to this scripture. The writer of Hebrews, whom I personally believe to be the Apostle Paul. Read the last chapter and he talks about Timothy. And who was Timothy's son in the faith? Or father in the faith? Paul. Hebrews 10, 23-25 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful." Who promised? God. "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." What day? Christ coming for His church. Yes, you are going to slip up. Yes, you at times are going to fall and make some mistakes. But righteousness will be the practice of your life if you belong to the Lord. 1 John 3:9, whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed, God's seed, remains in him, the Holy Spirit. And he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Did you catch that? A believer will not practice sin. He won't live in it. He won't play around with it. Nor will he make it his life. Romans 6, verses 1 to 3. Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound because we're under grace? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? You see, the life of a sinner is that he lives in sin all the time. You don't expect him to do anything differently. It's just the way they are. It's the way we were. That's where we were until we came to Christ. 1 John 5, verses 2 to 3. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. The commandments John is speaking of aren't referring to the Old Testament 10 commandments and the law. He's speaking of those Jesus gave when he was here on earth. He's saying the child of God wants to keep his commandments. It's something we want to practice. It's not hard for us or burdensome for us to keep. It tells us as believers, we shouldn't be looking for someone to do something for us. We're to be expressing our love in action and in a genuine concern for others. John 13, verse 34, 35. If you love Jesus, if you love your Heavenly Father, you're going to love each other as believers in Christ. There is just no other way around it. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When it comes to work in the church and other ministries, it's not going to be hard for us to take the time and help out, because we love the Lord and nothing else matters. John continues in verses 4 to 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Again, notice what overcomes the world, including temptation. It's our faith. Now, no one is going to argue with me that we live in a real world and we're constantly being bombarded with obstacles. But if we'd be for real and would admit it, it's not easy to obey God. It's much easier to flow with the world and do our own thing the way the world does it. It is. But because we are born of God, we have his divine nature within us. Guys, it's impossible for this divine nature to disobey God. The Holy Spirit will not do that. Now, if the old nature is in control, yes, you will continue to disobey God. But if this new nature is in control, we will obey God. It comes down to which nature you're allowing to be in control. I mean, the world appeals to the old nature. I'll give you hands down on that one. And as it does, it tries to make God's commandments seem burdensome or hard to do. That's why it's faith that saves us. It's faith that's going to keep us. And it's by faith that we will be able to overcome this world. Yes, we are in the world, but we are not of it. Because we can be caught up in it so easily, and then we get trapped by it. We're saved by faith. And if we're going to overcome this world, we'll not overcome it by fighting it. We're going to overcome it by faith. When we really trust Christ, it's not a question of our own power, because the scriptures tell us that we're kept by the power of God through faith. Is this sinking in? I think many times the problem is we tend to forget our spiritual position in Jesus Christ. Remember, when he died, we died with him. Paul laid this down in a powerful way in Galatians 2:20. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. The Rick doesn't live. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now have in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When Christ was buried, we were buried with him. When he arose, guys, we arose with him. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. You know what that means? It means we no longer conduct our lives as we did in the world, because we've been given a new life. It's to be acted upon in Christ and our Heavenly Father. What we do now, we do in the love of our Father. I mean, you gotta love it. When Christ ascended to heaven, you and I ascended with him. Are you ready for this? Right now, do you know each one of us are seated with Christ in the heavenly places? Where is that in the Bible, Rick? I'm glad you guys are on your game tonight. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. He said in Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 6, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There it is. This is our standing tonight. Even though we are still sinners. I mean, you got to admit, it's mind-blowing. It boggles the mind. It all means this. When Jesus returns, we will share his exaltation. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, notice our new life, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's us. It brings us to understand more richly Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In overcoming the world and temptation, our victory is a result of faith. It's as we continue to grow in faith, we continue to grow in love. Unconditional agape love that can only come from our Lord. The more you love someone in the Father, the easier it is to trust them. And the more our love for Christ is perfected, the more our faith in him is perfected. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time that you've given us. And God, I do pray that we would take these things seriously. Father, that you would resonate these things in our spirit, in our soul, Lord. Father, that we could be the man, the woman you've called us to be, God. And Lord, we just love you. We give you all the glory for your word and the things you continue to reveal to us. Bless us, Lord, according to your plan, your will, and your purpose. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.